Good morning. On this morning, in the absence of our resident evangelist, Brother Joseph H. Brown, we have our guest minister. Many of us know him as Marvin, Brother Marvin Brown. Bailey, thank you. Hey, I'm making sure you're awake.
You're getting old.
Brother Bailey now is the minister of the North Main Street Church of Christ in Emporia, Virginia. We're glad to have him in our presence on this morning. And his study in the Bible brings us to the book of Luke. The chapter is 23. We will be reading verses 43 through 46. When I'm completed, I'll turn the podium over to Brother Bailey. Book is Luke, chapter 23, verses 43 through 46. And the Bible reads, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." Brother Bailey.
Again, we are thankful to Almighty God for the privilege and the honor to be here on this morning. Certainly, any time I come home, I'm glad to show up. And good to see all my brothers and sisters here in this part of God's vineyard. It's certainly been a while since I have been here, so I don't know if that is to your advantage or your disadvantage. But I'll try to be cognizant of the fact that I'm not here to stay all day. Sometime I say I'm not going to preach long. I just said to get you happy. But it's good to see my brothers and sisters, and I hope and pray that we will say something this morning that will encourage you to keep on doing what you're doing if you are doing what God says. And if you're not doing what God has commanded us to do, and I hope you'll search your heart and find that things that are absent, you'll stand and make it known by confessing your sins before God, and we will pray for you, then God will restore you back to your rightful place in his kingdom. I want to bring greetings from the Emporia Church of Christ, which is the North Main Street Church of Christ in the city of Emporia. It may be confusing. We do that to confuse the city. We are in the city of Emporia, and my wife had been traveling with me for the last 3 weeks, and she decided she had better stay home, because if she did not, neither one of us may not have a home. And so we are appreciative of her taking time out of her busy schedule to be with me through all of the preaching I've done the last month. But today I'm going to try to be as succinctly as I possibly can. If you got your Bibles, I don't see my sister here, my biological sister. Yeah, I was going to get ready to jump all over them. Good to see them here this morning. In Luke chapter 23, odd verses, it took me a while to get them straight from a lesson. But we finally, through consultation with the scripture reader, we were able to come to some kind of agreement, and we decided on verses 43 through 46, and we want to particularize verse number 46. That's where we will get our thought from on this morning. There will be other scriptures we will be entertaining, but we will start with this. And if you'd like to keep a subject, I would like to present to you the subject, When Christ Died. It's a simple subject. Three words. When Christ died. And the reading of the scriptures, in that 43rd verse, Jesus said unto one of the thief on the cross, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there were darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Having said thus, he gave up the ghost. When Christ died. It is in this lesson, I am hoping to have the people who are members of the Lord's church to really appreciate the Church of Christ. Never take lightly the Church of Christ. It is a marvelous institution. God went through a lot in order for us to have the privilege and the honor to be a member of the Lord's church. So sometimes members take for granted their blessings, take for granted their salvation. But I stopped by to tell you this morning, a lot of things took place when Christ died. I'm taking this time now to tell you before I finish. I want you to circle Romans chapter 4 and verse number 25. It doesn't make no sense to talk about the death of Christ if I don't talk about Romans 4, 25. Now, what happened when Christ died on the cross? There are three expressions that are synonymous one with another. It is the death of Christ. It is the cross of Christ. And it is the blood of Christ. All these are signifying the same thing. That Jesus Christ died on the cruel cross of Calvary. It was an agonizing death. It was a death that was done by one who did not deserve to die. But he died because we were in sin. And if you don't believe that you were in sin, you will have trouble this morning. Because this lesson is for anybody who recognized that they were in sin. Sin separates individuals from God. And being separated from God is a terrible thing. But to die separated from God is even worse. If you die in your sins, Jesus said, "Where I am, you cannot come." So we need to really understand Jesus Christ in order to understand the church. If you do not understand Christ, then you will have trouble in the church. Many church folks are going through stuff and not realizing that Jesus is still ruling on the throne. And long as Jesus ruled on the throne, it doesn't matter what we go through in the church. God will see us through. Now, the first thing I want to recognize that happened at the death of Christ, it abolished the law of Moses. That may not seem like much to you. But under the law of Moses, which was God's first way of being saved, man could not ascertain enough relationship with God in order to be saved. So God had to do something about the law, because when he looked at the law, he found fault. And not because the law wasn't perfect, not because the law was flawed, it was because the law could not help anybody to be saved. You had to keep the whole law in order to be saved. Somebody looking at me strange. I think I better get for you. James chapter 2 and round about verse number 10. James chapter 2 and right about verse number 10, the Bible says, listen to the Bible, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Is that in your Bible? And I'm glad this morning that I don't have to deal with the law. For you see, every now and then, no matter how hard I try, I mess up and miss God's law. And I don't want to be under the law when I miss God's law. Y'all don't hear me this morning. The law was designed to keep folks straight, but the law didn't help you stay straight. Y'all, you see, the law was a factor, and humankind could not obey God through the law perfectly. Therefore, the law could not save us, because nobody could keep the law except the one that died for us, and that was Jesus Christ. Y'all to say amen. I said that was Jesus. So God abolished the law that we could not keep it. But I thank God this morning, when he took care of the law, grace and truth showed up. Yes, sir. I said grace and truth showed up. And the reason I'm able to stand here this morning is not because of anything that I have done. It is because of the grace of God. And when you combine grace and mercy together, I say when you combine grace and mercy together, then I thought by to let you know that you are somebody. I say when you combine grace and mercy together, you are somebody. And God placed grace and mercy in the same place. In order for you to be able to receive that grace and mercy, you got to be in the place that God placed it. If you're not in the place that God placed it, then you are not living under the mercy and the grace of God. And you're subject to be lost in your death. Christ, y'all, I want you to see this. Not only did he abolish the law and nail it to the cross, but we're also saved from the curse that was under the law. The law causes individuals who sin to be cursed. But Jesus died. I think I better get it for y'all looking strange. Galatians chapter 3, somebody read from Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 10. Listen to the Bible. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 10. The Bible say what?
For as many.
Read.
As are of the works of the law.
Read.
Are under the curse.
For
it is written, cursed is everyone.
Cursed is everyone.
That continueth. Not in all things.
Y'all missing this. You see why some folk want to run back and get the law? They want to run back and get stuff that they cannot deal with and bring it forth after Christ had done all of that to take the law out of the way. We still have folks that want to run back and get the law. And to live under the law is to live under the curse. Jesus shed his blood, his precious blood, on the cross in order for men and women, boys and girls, not to have to be able to live under a law that they could not keep. But God sent grace and truth. And I'm thankful this morning for grace, Brother McCullough, because every now and then, even though my sins have been washed away, every now and then I still have trouble with sin. And the preacher's the only one who had trouble with sin. I say every now and then I still have trouble with sin. But because of God's grace, I can deal with sin because Jesus had taken care of the sin problem for me. Am I right about it? And so we don't have to worry about sin causing us to lose our soul, because if you're faithful to the cause of Christ, one of these days you'll be able to see the face of God in peace. Why is that true, Brother Bailey? Not only did he take sin, the law away, but he also gave us redemption. I say he also gave us redemption. And that redemption means that he paid the price. I say he paid the price. Where is the redemption? The redemption is in Christ. And whatever puts you in Christ, we have redemption. Meaning, God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. When Jesus, I want you to picture this. When Jesus went to that cross, the Bible indicates that he took our sins to that cross. Yeah, you have sinned and I have sinned. And Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, went to that cross with our sins and then gave us a way back to God. Let me read it for you. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter, chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now are returning to the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. I'm thankful this morning that I don't have to pay the penalty for sin. For the penalty for sin is death. Sin, this is called, the Bible calls it, the wages of sin is death. The wages is something you work for. It's amazing how hard we work to die and be separated from God. And on the other hand, eternal life is a free gift. God gives it to us when we do the proper thing in order to receive the free gift. And this morning I want to show you that God have placed in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 10. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 10. 1 Timothy chapter 2.
But?
Read. First Timothy chapter 2.
But which becometh woman?
I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy. I got 2 Timothy. Where you got? Somehow you wrong.
Therefore. I endure all things for
Paul
the elect's sake.
I endure all things for the elect's sake. Underline that word, the elect's sake. Read.
That they may also obtain
what?
Salvation.
The salvation.
Which is in Christ Jesus.
Which is in Christ Jesus.
With eternal glory.
So God placed salvation in Christ Jesus. Now, in order to understand this, we have to understand something about the church. Christ bought the church. He paid for the church with his own blood. The church of Christ is not just an ordinary church. It is a blood-bought church. That's why we all ought to be thankful that God purchased the church and you are a member of that church that was purchased by the blood of Christ. Can you prove it, Brother Bailey? Yes, in Acts chapter 20, y'all read it all the time, and verse number 28 indicates that the church was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when he paid for the church brought forth his debt, because the church could not be bought with silver and gold. It took the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to take another look at that cross. He's hanging on the cross, but he never did anything wrong. The only reason that he's on that cross is because of your sins and my sins. The sin of the world took Jesus to the cross. Well, why did he go to the cross? The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. That's the expression of God's love. Blood-bought church. Some folks live in the church as if the church don't mean anything. The church means a lot to God because God sent his Son in order to die, in order to purchase the church. Not only did he purchase the church, but he sent his Son to die in our place. I say he sent his son to die in our place. When you sin, sin causes, according to Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, sin causes individuals to be separated from God. And as long as you are separated from God, you cannot receive that salvation. Now, it's not bad to be separated, but it's bad to die in your separation. So since you don't know when you're going to die, it's best to get right with God before you die and stay right with God. Am I right about it? Sin is a terrible thing. Sin is one of the things that God hates. God hates sin, and we thank God that he loved the sinner. And since he loved the sinner, we can be saved if we do what God say. Now, when Jesus was on the coast of Caesarea Philippi, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Before he went back to glory, he knew what his mission was before he left earth and transitioned back to glory. He was in the area of Caesarea Philippi. That was a hostile area. That was the area of the Gentiles. And he had some of his disciples with him, and Peter in particular. And he asked Peter, he said, "What are the folks in this area? Who are they saying that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now I want you to understand something about Jesus. Jesus wanted folks to know who he was. And God wants folks today to know who Jesus is. For if you don't know Jesus, you're going to treat the church as a secondhand church. But when you know Jesus and what he did for us, the church will mean just as much to you as it should mean. Jesus was not an ordinary man. He claimed to be the Son of Man. He also inferred that he was the Son of God. And that makes things difficult for us because we don't understand how could Jesus be the Son of Man and also be the Son of God. And when you find and discover how he happened to be the Son of God and the Son of Man, then you understand what he did when he came to get the church into God's hands. Let me see. He said he was born of a virgin. But he had no earthly father. The fact that he was born of a virgin made him a man. The fact that his father was not an earthly father made him the Son of God. He had just as much manhood in him as he had Godhood. He was just as much God as he was man. He was just as much man as he was God. Y'all ain't getting this. So Jesus came for a mission. He saw our sin problem. And God had to punish sinners because God is righteous and holy. Am I right about it? So being righteous and holy, no matter how much God loved us, he could not have let us get away with sin. The sinner had to be punished. And so God did something that nobody else could do. He gave us his son by enclosing him in flesh and sent him down to earth, let him live among men so that he could understand the trouble that we were going through. And so he died. Let me back up a minute. I jumped ahead of myself. In Hebrews chapter 4. In the book of Hebrews, I think the chapter is 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And the verse is round about number 12. Hebrews chapter 4. I've done it again, bro. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12.
For the word of God
Read.
Is quick and powerful.
Read.
And sharper than any two-edged sword.
Uh-huh.
Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit.
Drop down to verse number 14.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest.
We have a great high priest.
That is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast.
Let us hold fast our profession. Read.
For we have not an high priest. Which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But was in all points tempted like we are.
Yet without sin. So that we can do what? Come boldly unto the throne of grace. That we might attain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What a marvelous thought. God has done his part. He sent Jesus to purchase the church with his blood. He sent Jesus to redeem us from our sins. And that's hard for us to believe because we all have sinned and come short of God's glory. No matter how hard you try to live right, you will always fall short of the standard that God has set. Now, I know if we look at each other, we feel like we're doing pretty good in the sight of God. But when we look at Jesus, we always come up short. And for that reason, we needed somebody to take care of our sin problem. And God decided to send Jesus. And when Jesus went through this coast of Caesarea Philippi, when he asked Peter, who are the people saying that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter answered the question. He said, some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elias. Some say that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And when Jesus asked Peter, then, who do you say that I am? I want you to see something there. People does not know divine things unless God reveals it. Y'all don't hear me. God speaks through his Son and through the Holy Spirit who has given us the word of God. And when you ask man about churches, when you ask man about the building and the establishment of church, they believe that every man has a right to establish a church. But God established a church through his Son. Because his Son said to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And that statement was based on the fact that Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. For flesh, and Jesus said, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. So if you want to get right with God, you have to find out what is God saying about himself and about his Son. You cannot go to man. You cannot go to the reverend. The reverend will tell you anything if he says he's a reverend. I base that on the fact that he says that he's a reverend. If he says that he's a reverend, no matter what else he might tell you. He might tell you that he is the Son of God. I don't know what he might tell you. But Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, let me show you that the church was blood-bought. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28.
Take heed. Therefore unto yourselves. And to all the flock. Over the which. The Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. To feed the church of God. Which he hath purchased with his own blood.
The church. Which he hath purchased.
With his own blood.
That makes the church special because the church is not a building. I'm going to show you that when I get to my closing. The church is not a building. But the church was purchased by Jesus' blood. Now, that a lot of folks want to make an argument. It says the church of God. In that text, it said the church of God. But it also said, was purchased with his own blood. Now, we know the person in the Godhead that shed blood was the Son of God. Am I right about it? And so the Son of God purchased the church with his own blood. And I know that he loved the church. That's why you can't act in the kind of way you want to in the meeting house, in the worship house. because when the church comes together, we represent Jesus the Christ. And I know he loved the church because in his declaration, he said, husband, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Y'all miss? He gave himself for it. So that indicates again that God only have one church. And Jesus Christ purchased the right to that church with his death on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he consummated all things according to the church. He not only did he purchase the church with his death, but he also brought unity on the cross. And this unity is to be kept by all Christians. Listen to him. He said, there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. But unto every one of you is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So the God speaks of oneness, and every religious person understand the one God, they understand the one Lord, but they have trouble with the one faith and the one baptism. And the reason why is the devil has something to do with that. And somebody going to get mad right about here. This is where I get off. I see y'all ain't getting it, so this is where I go off. See, I've been preaching long enough to know when to go off. See, when you use an outline like I do sometimes, it get me tied up. But now I'm going off. And I'm not picking on nobody because I'm in the same boat as everybody else. I just thank God that I was able to find the truth before it was everlasting too late. And when you find the truth, it seems like your eyes are open. Read the same Bible you've been reading for years, and all of a sudden you get a better understanding. Yes. Let me help you with how, why. Y'all don't mind if I just step down now, because I'm going off now. Now, why can we all understand the Bible like we can? Why we don't? Why we have in the city of Richmond all the different churches? Jesus Christ died on that cruel cross so that we all can have eternal life. All of us can have salvation. There's a problem in religion, and I got to explain to you what it is. The problem is not the Bible. No, sir. Because the Bible, after all, is the Word of God. The problem is not Jesus or God or the Holy Spirit. It is not even the apostles, because the one that was giving them trouble, they took him away and replaced him with another one. Am I right about it? So we have all these individuals in sync, and the Bible is in sync. Then why do we have all the different churches? There's a church over there and a church over here. Everywhere, there's a church, and they all claim to be right. I said they all claim to be right. They all claim to be from God. So there is another being that is causing all of this trouble. And we're going to talk about that being first. And then for those of you who examine yourself and discover that this might be your father, and you might want to have an adoption and have another father. We're going to talk about it. Sometimes you're not responsible who your father is, but you're responsible where you go after you get here. Amen. See, I was born into the Bailey family. I had nothing to do with that. And they brought me here, and I can change my direction. Sometimes them Baileys were something else. So I had to change my direction. I met Jesus. Let me tell you what it was before I met Jesus. In John, 1 John, chapter 3. 1 John, chapter 3. Now, verse number 7 through 8.
Little children.
1 John, chapter 3, verses 7 through 8.
Let no man deceive you.
Let no man deceive you.
He that doeth y'all righteousness.
That. See. Could stay and preach there for about 30 minutes. Let no man deceive you. When you are in an argument in religion, there must be a standard. If there is no standard, the argument will continue until you die. So when we follow the standard, then we can resolve the issue that we're arguing about. Am I right about it? You know, if you didn't have no standards in the world, you would be spending your money on grocery and not knowing what you were buying because you had no standard. I like bologna. Don't y'all get mad with me. I just like bologna. And I like beef bologna. And when I spend my money, I ask for 5 pounds of bologna. I want to make sure I got 5 pounds. I don't want to stand and argue with a man all day about that's not 5 pounds. And he's saying it is 5 pounds and it's looked like 2 pounds. So what we do, we find a scale. Put the bologna on a scale, and the scale will determine which one of us is right. And if the man is right, he got to put some more bologna on the scale. Am I right about it? And in religion, men will deceive you. If someone tell you that every church belongs to God, then that person must go to the standard, which is the Bible, and show you where the Holy Spirit said to the apostle that all churches belongs to God. If you can't find that in the Bible, then somebody is lying, and it's not the Holy Spirit. Oh, man. So don't let nobody deceive you. I know it's hard to go against your parents. It's hard to go against your pastor. It's hard to go against those that whom you love. But you got to start to figure out if the one I love is worth me losing my soul. See, you're not comparing this with a friendship. You're trying to save your soul, because when you die, your soul is going to go somewhere. That's not a point where you can say, well, I'm going to put it off. When you die, however you die, that's how you're going to get up. If you get up wrong, you're going to, and y'all ain't getting this, your soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. And so the only time you got to get it right is right now. Right now. Now, why are men deceiving you? I'm going to show you that. Brother Reed.
He that doeth righteousness is righteous.
He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Read.
Even as he is righteous.
Even as he is righteous. Read.
He that committeth sin is of the devil.
Oh, I think you better read that kind of quiet. If you're not going to read it quiet, then you better read it again. Because somebody missed it. Read, Brother Bird.
He that committeth sin is of
he
the devil.
He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, don't get this wrong. Because we all sin. And come short of the glory of God. It don't matter how hard I try to walk in the straight and narrow path of righteousness. Every now and then I get off path. But what John is saying, the sin that is practiced, he that practices sin, he that enjoys what he's doing, and when it's of a sinful nature, he is not of God. Somebody all getting mighty quiet. Oh, y'all want me to take a drink of water? That's what they want me to do. Y'all some good people here. I wonder why y'all was getting quiet. He that committed sin is of the devil. When sin does not bother you, there's a reason for it not bothering you. He that committed sin is of the devil. Every Christian ought to have a problem with sin. Yeah, I was going to stay for Bible class, but I told brother I got to get back, because this lesson would run over into a Bible class. The Bible says, thank you, bro. Listen to me carefully. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, don't you leave, brother, brother, where you at? Stay right where you are. In Romans chapter 2, verse number 4 said, the goodness of God leads to repentance. Y'all missed that. I said, the Bible said, the goodness of God leads to repentance. You see, as I walk my Christian life, and when I sin, it's God's goodness to allow me to come to repentance. But if I sin and love it, and wallow in it, sleep in it, get up in it, there's something wrong with my Christianity. I'm not making this up. The Bible does say the goodness of God leads us to repentance. What are you doing, God? I'm being patient. I'm giving you an opportunity to look at yourself and find out where your problem is and get right before it's too late. But if you don't do that, then you got to figure out who your father is. You see, because we like to idolize our father. When I was a little boy, my daddy was kind of, I don't know what these would call it, some kind of toe. Yeah, that's it. And I idolized him so much, I tried to deform myself to be like him. Don't you know there's something wrong with me? I'm trying to be deformed in order to be like my daddy. I'm walking down this hallway in school. I wasn't born that way. I was just trying to imitate my daddy. And then when I got older, find out that that was not the way your feet ought to be. I straightened up real quick. When you learn better, you do better. All right. So Burton's going to read the rest of that. We're going down to verse number 8. I know where it stopped at. Over here.
If we say that we have no sin.
If we say we have no sin.
We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us.
See, it's one thing to have someone else deceive you. It's another thing to have deceive yourself. We baptized a lady in Emporia. And she was faithful for about 3 weeks. One Sunday evening, she was at worship. And we extended the invitation. But 6 Christians got up, came down front, and stood up in front of the church, had the nerve to say, I have sinned. And I repent of my sin, asking the church to pray for me. That girl got up and walked out of the church house. And I followed her. I said, what's wrong? She said, this cannot be the right church, where a Christian cannot sin. And you have about 6 people over there talking about they have sinned. She believed, once you become a Christian, you can live the perfect life. Not knowing that Jesus came to take the Lord away because we could not live the perfect life. But we sin. And we need to recognize everybody in here sins. But everybody in here does not live and wallow in sin. Some folks sin because that's a lifestyle. Other folks sin because of weaknesses. And God has set provision for the one who sinned because of weakness. He has given us a way out. If you confess your sin before God, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Too many Christians have fell in love with their wayward lifestyle that they don't want to give it up. So they live in misery because they cannot enjoy the joy that God has given us. I don't know why you want to be a Christian in this life if you can't have no joy. It's miserable trying to live in the world and live in the church. Give up the world and say, hello, Jesus, and I guarantee you joy will come into your life. I'll stop by to tell you every now and then I need some mercy. A few months ago, laying up on the operation table, and they said, I'm going to cut your throat. And before I went into the operation, I got to talk to Jesus. Because this doctor ain't talking right. He sounds like they are going by trial and error. And I want to make sure that the right one has gotten the hands. Yes. So let me have a little talk with Jesus. Yes. And when I talked with Jesus, the light went on. It got dark and the light came back on. I sat up and said, thank you, Jesus. Yes. Huh? When you are laying down on the operating table, you want to make sure that you still have some joy. And the joy is, if this thing don't go the way I planned it to go, it's going the way that God planned it. And if God planned it that way, it's going to be all right. Because God never makes a mistake. So you got to be able. Don't deceive yourself. Don't live up here trying to live perfect. Just live right. And y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. You're putting all that pressure on yourself trying to live perfect. Hey. I want you to live right and faithful and recognize when you mess up, fess up. Am I right about it? Don't go out here and live and wallow in sin talking about I can't help it. Listen. The Bible trying to put you on track. He said if you say you have no sin. Huh?
We may become a liar.
Don't look at me. I'm not the only one here who have some sin. We all have sin. Even as tall as Brother Mike Color is, and when I stand up against him, I look pretty. You see what I'm saying? But when he stands up against Jesus, he feels the same way about Jesus I feel about him. He's tall, I can't reach it. When you look at Jesus, the standard just keep going up. You find somebody, oh, that's a good Christian. They live right and faithful all the time. Well, then look at Jesus and you say, well, they ain't that good after all. Because it's Jesus. But you got to understand something. Look, watch this. The Bible says, if we say you have no sin,
we make him a liar.
We make
him a liar, and his word is not in us.
If you say you have no sin, you make Jesus a liar. Did y'all hear that? You've been walking around all the time trying to get perfect. That's good. Keep on trying to get perfect, and you will wear yourself out. Yeah. Find out what it is God wanted for your life, and then do it. And when you miss the mark, don't carry the bed with you. Make sure when you lay your head on a pillow that you got everything right with God. You don't want to lay down on a pillow and knowing that you're not right with God. That's why the brothers came this morning. Say, if there's somebody got a problem with God, let's get it straight before we get it.
That's right.
If you can get something straight, get it straight. Right. Don't walk around here telling the Lord what I'm going to do. What you're going to do, mess around here and let grace run out and you're going to die in your sin. You only got a short grace period, and that's how much God allow you. But you don't have to die in sin. Watch this. Read on, bro.
And his word is not in us.
You make him a liar, and his word are not in us. The word is powerful. The word has the same effect as the Holy Spirit has, as God has. There is no difference between the word of God and the Holy Spirit and God himself. Because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So the word is powerful and it cannot be wrong. But you got the word in you. Same as you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the ability to walk in the narrow path of righteousness. But the problem is not the word. Watch what the problem is. Keep reading. When you get
that's
the word.
It. That's it for that chapter.
Yeah, it's at the end of the chapter. You got
chapter 3, verse 9.
Oh, go back to verse 8. I want verse 8.
He that committeth sin is of the devil.
He that committeth sin, he that live, water, and walk in sin is of the devil.
For the devil sinneth from the beginning.
Because the devil is the author of sin. The devil sinneth from the beginning. So don't you tell me that you love sin and you a child of God. You can be a child of God, but somehow you have gotten off the beaten path. And you are of the devil. John 8:44. And somebody get me for John chapter 5, verse number 19. And then we're going to move right on. John 8:44.
Ye are of your father.
Uh-oh.
The devil.
Hold on. No Jews are there. God, Jesus didn't hold. He was one of them fellows that told it like it is. And I can see us now trying to figure you might be. You could be. Jesus told them exactly who they were. You're the child of your father.
Hello? The devil.
See, I'm even stumbling right now. And I ain't talking about nobody. You are the... What did you say again, brother?
You are your father. You are of your father.
You are of your father. The devil. Y'all getting this? If the devil is your father, you do what your father did. That's why sin is so enjoyable to you, but it's a short joy. But one of the days, you're going to have to pay the price. And the reason why the world is so messed up, reason why we got somebody in the White House trying to move into your house through the laws that they make, is because they really don't know God. Anytime somebody tell you 2 Corinthians, ain't wrong with that. It is Corinthians, and 2nd is 2. But it lets you know how unfamiliar they are with the Bible vernacular. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the reason why The world is so messed up. We got so many churches. Everybody trying to figure out a way to get to God and don't go to the standard that God has set. Yeah. And John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 19, the Bible say what?
1 John chapter 5 and verse number 19.
Mm-hmm. Then answered Jesus and said unto them.
1 John.
Oh, 1 John.
Yeah. That's all right. I'll give you that one. Next one be on me. 1 John
chapter 5. And we know. That we are of God.
Read again.
And we know that we are of God.
And we know that we are of God. Read.
And the whole world lieth in wickedness.
And the whole world. Not part of the world. Those of us who have left the world and come into the kingdom of God's dear Son have left behind a world that is controlled by the wicked one. And the wicked one is nobody other than the devil. The whole world is controlled by the devil. And so why do you expect for the world to do right when the devil is the one that rules the world? The world belongs to God, but the devil rules the world. And God takes folks out of the world and translates them into the kingdom of his dear Son. So you want to know why we're going downhill fast. The world is getting darker and darker every year. Every day for that matter. And because Satan is see to it. And just like this morning, if somebody here is visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you have enjoyed the sermon, you have enjoyed the words that come from the book called the Bible, but the devil is waiting for the imitation. I said the devil is waiting for the imitation. It is at that point when he is going to influence you to stay where you are and not walk down and give the preacher your hand and God your heart and be baptized in water for the remission of your sin. He don't want you to do that. But he does want you to know how great God is. He does want you to know that God's still ruling in the lives of men. He wants you to know that God is sitting on his throne and Jesus is sitting on his right hand. But when the invitation is extended, that's why he draws the line. But I stop by to tell you, let me give you a reason why you ought to be in the Church of Christ. And I'm coming close to the end of this lesson. Why you ought to be a member of the Church of Christ. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he abolished the law. That's good. When Jesus died on the cross, he redeemed us from our sins. That's wonderful. Jesus died on the cross. Not only did he redeem us from our sins, he purchased the church that God will add the saved to. And before I add you and show you that all the saved is added to the church, I want to show you a good reason for you ought to be in the church. Because you can't make no argument with the devil. You'll try to argue with him. Eve tried it. And the devil just got her real easy. He changed one word and she was upset for the rest of her life. And not only that, enticed her husband. Now he messed me up. One man sin, death into the world by death sin. And sin spread to all men. See, that's what I got. I got a sin problem. You got a sin problem. But I thank God for mercy and grace. I want to show you how why I can walk around here with my head up straight and you know that I have sinned somewhere along the line. Y'all know that. Look, Brenda looking at me. I'm justified. And when I fall short, I don't got to run to the priest. I don't even have to run to the brother and sister. Because I got somebody and fighting my case for me. He knows my weaknesses. He knows whether I'm for real or not for real. He knows the inside and the outside. He knows the end before the beginning. I tell you, I got somebody. I'm getting ready to preach now. I got somebody. In the book of 1 John chapter 2, and begin verse number 1. Watch what the Bible says.
My little children.
Hello, little children.
These things I write unto you.
These things I write unto you.
That you sin not.
That you sin not, brother.
And if any man sin.
I write these things unto you. That you sin not. I know you're going to sin. But I'm writing the letter so you do not sin. Because sin is a separation between God and man. And sin will call you loose. So old John said, I'm writing to you little children, that you sin not. But read.
And if any man sin.
But if any man sin.
We have an advocate.
I have an advocate.
With the Father Jesus
Christ.
I have
somebody pleading my case, Brother Mike. I might have sinned last night, but when I got down on my knees this morning, I couldn't go straight to the Father, but I went to Jesus. And when you go to Jesus, whatever I wreck when it got to Jesus, Jesus straightened it out, so when it get to the Father, it's all right. Am I right about it? Sometimes I utter words I don't know what to say and when to say it and how to say it. But when I get down on my knees, I got a lawyer that fighting my case. And I know the lawyer, Father, is the judge. It's a good thing to have a lawyer when the Father is the judge. Am I right about it? So when I make my mistakes, when I do my wrong, and I recognize that I ought to get things right, I talk to Jesus. And Jesus talked to the Father. And what are you doing, Jesus? I'm pleading your case. You see, I've been there and I saw that. I know what you're going through. So I want to make sure that the prayer go up right. And so Jesus take the words and he straighten them up and they get to the Father's ear. And the Father said, all right, let's give him another chance. Am I right about it? So we have an advocate with the Father. Read.
And he is the propitiation.
And he is the propitiation
for our sins.
He took care of the business for me on the cross. I should have been on that cross. Because you see, I sinned against God the Father. And the penalty for sin is death. But Jesus took my place on the cross. Am I right about it? He said he's a propitiation for my sin. Read.
And not for our sins only.
Not for our sins only.
But also for the sins of the whole world.
The whole world. Did y'all get that? Jesus died on the cross. You should have been there. Let me show you how perfect Jesus was, and he still died. Over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21.
Now,
read.
Then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead.
Y'all know the ambassadors. The apostles has the authority to speak on God's behalf. I don't have that authority unless I speak where the Bible speaks. That's why 1 Peter says, "In a man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." That means the message must be divine. If the message is not divine, then it did not come from God, no matter who said. So if anyone's speaking on the behalf of God, you must be able to see it or read it in the Bible. You can't see it or read it in the Bible, then it's not divine. And if it's not divine, it won't do you any good. But the apostles was approved by God. Jesus Christ himself chose them and gave them the authority and the right to speak on the behalf of God. Paul calls it an ambassador. Ambassador of message must be the one who sent them. It cannot be a message of their own. That's why Jesus said, I go back to the Father and I will send you a comforter who will guide you into all things, whatever I have taught you. You see? So hey, the ambassador, the part I want you to get is what Jesus did. Read.
For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin.
Did y'all see that? You see why it's so important? The one who had no sin was made sin so the one that had sin could be made righteous. God had to be something else in order to send his son, the sinless son of God, to take on our sin so that we could appear before God as righteous. God treat us justly, and even though we have sinned, he treated us as if we had never sinned. That's a great payoff. You ought to be shouting hallelujah. Oh, sin for Marvin, stand before God as if he had never committed sin. And Jesus, who had never committed sin, takes on the sin so that we can be righteous. Let me close. I ain't kidding to you. I'll come back another time. Jesus died. All this stuff took place because of the cross. But there's a better message that we have overlooked. Yes, he died. He was buried, but on the third day. Thank God for the third day. I said they buried him, but the grave couldn't hold him. On the third day, he got up out of the grave and said to the world, God has given me all power in both heaven and earth. Y'all ever read that? Let me show you why I'm standing up here and bragging on myself, but bragging through Jesus. Because I'm a humble spirit. I know what I've done wrong. And I know if I died in my sins, I would never have been able to see God face in peace. And I'm glad it wasn't based on what I had done in order to get right with God. All the goodness in the world that I would have done would still not been enough in the sight of God. You know why? Nobody in here can earn their salvation. You can't do enough work to earn your salvation. So why am I standing up here with joy in my heart? Why do I have joy in my heart when I have so many obstacles down here to go through and still can find place in my heart for joy? Because I recognize my undone condition. I recognize that I was a sinner. I recognize that God had done me a favor. Now, y'all ain't hear me. God had done me a favor by meeting out grace. He knew I needed some grace. He knew that you need some grace. And grace is what God does for you, what you cannot do for yourself. And then God combined that with mercy. Oh, my Lord. He combined that with mercy. And mercy stopped you from getting what you should have gotten. And when I got grace and mercy together, no wonder I can read Romans chapter 4 and verse number 25 and humbly before God and say, thank you, Jesus. Because I understand my predicament does not dictate my destination. Y'all ain't hear me. Watch what the Bible says. Romans 4, 25. I told y'all I was going there before I closed.
Who was delivered for our offenses.
Listen, they buried him, but he was delivered. And the reason why he was delivered was for our
offenses.
Justification means that I am not guilty. I know you saw me sin. You were looking right at me when I sinned. But I'm standing against for the judge who's going to judge the whole world, and the judge say, I am not guilty. And the only reason why I'm not guilty, not because I've been so good, but because Jesus got up out of that grave. And when he got up, I have been justified in the sight of God because I accept his term of salvation. I don't believe in no man-made church. If you want to be justified, you already know that you've sinned. And you stand for God in your sin, you're going to lose your soul. But if Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection mean anything to you, you can get right today. That's why he said to his disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And we got folks out here today talking about baptism is not essential for salvation. They don't know who the one who said that you ought to be baptized. The sovereign Son of God said that you must be baptized. And God made him Lord and Christ. Am I right about it? He is both Lord and Christ. Mean what he said. He mean what he said. And he said what he mean. And if you say something different, you're calling the sovereign God a liar. It was Jesus who said, upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It was Jesus who said that baptism was for the remission of sin. If you say that baptism is not necessary, then you're saying that Jesus does not have the authority that God claimed that he has. Let me close and show you. Let me show you how ridiculous it is when somebody says to you that baptism is not essential for salvation, that salvation is at the point of belief. That is a devil's lie. The devil even believe. But he's not saved. Because the Bible Bible say he believed and he trembled, because he know that the wrath and the terror of God, and he know that belief cannot save anybody by itself. Belief is necessary, but not all by itself. Give you a look at, for those of you who are not members of Church of Christ. When you study in the book of Acts, every conversion in the book of Acts is for our benefit. It shows us what baptism looked like. But there is no one place in the Bible where you find everything you must do. But when you look at all the pictures, every part gives you a piece of what you need to do, and you put it together, you know exactly what to do. Acts 2 is one of those ones that a lot of preachers have problems with, especially verse number 37. Let all the house of Israel know surely God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That ought to be your question this morning. What shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For remission of your sins. That's where the Bible tells a person what to do in order to be saved. But at that point, the person is not saved. But they know what to do in order to be saved. Are y'all hearing me? Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sin. If you argue with your preacher and you argue with Peter, who should you believe? Your preacher or Peter? Who should you believe? Your mother or Peter? Your daddy or Peter? Peter said he was there. He saw the miracles of Jesus. He was there on the Caesarea Philippi, on the coast of Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus corrected the people and agreed with Peter that Peter's information came from God. And when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, you're right. Peter said, I was there. I'm an ambassador. I have a right to speak on the behalf of God. And I say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin. Is there something else, Peter? Listen, I think you need to read verse 41. Verse 40 and 41.
Then they that gladly received his word.
They that gladly receive his word. Hold on. They that gladly receive his word. You notice, they didn't get mad. They were glad. Why were they glad? Because Peter told them, when you repent and be baptized, you're going to be saved. The question was, what shall I do? Repent and be baptized. How many? Every one of you. Why? For the remission of your sins. So baptism, Peter said, is for the remission of your sins. And the Bible said, they that gladly received the word, what happened?
Were baptized.
They were baptized. Now they are saved, because baptism was for the remission of sin. At first, when they believed, they were not saved, but Peter told them what to do in order to be saved. And what did Peter tell them? He told them they had to be baptized. And the one that received the word, the Bible said they were baptized. Now, who was that for? Who was that for? Watch the Bible. Verse 39.
For the promise.
For the promise, Peter said.
Is unto you.
Is unto you.
And to your children.
And to your children.
And to all that are far off.
All that are far off.
Even as many as the Lord God.
Even as many as the Lord God
shall call.
Are y'all missing? You can't get around baptism. Even if you didn't understand it, you know what he said. Now you want to argue with somebody, you argue with somebody to say, were you there when they took Jesus to the cross? Were you there when they buried him in the tomb? Were you there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came and upon all of the apostles that day, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit? Were you there? If you were not there, you have no right to say what a person needs to do in order to be saved. And there wasn't no 120 neither. It was 12. Somebody said that was 120. Let me tell you something. Out of the 120, the apostles had to choose two. See, Judas, he did wrong. When you do Jesus wrong, no telling where your life might end up in. Judas was numbered with the 12. But he did wrong. So he went somewhere and hung himself. And they needed 12 apostles. There was 120 disciples there, and they only had 11. So the apostles chose two. God out of the two chose one. It took that one and put him with the 12. Are y'all getting this?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And they began to speak with tongues. Now that tongue wasn't jibber jab. No man today can speak in tongues. I said no man today can speak in tongues. Not picking on nobody, but nobody can speak in tongues. Tongue wasn't something to make you feel good by jibber jabbing. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they all speak in their own language. Now, if you can't speak French and you want to speak French, you're going to have to go somewhere and learn French. Those fellas there that day, if somebody there in French, Brother Green, they just spoke a word that came out in your language. If you were happen to be Spanish and they were speaking, you heard it in Spanish. Here's a Frenchman over here, he heard it in French. French. And here's a Russian, and I better not say Russian, here's a African over here, he heard it in Swahili, you know. Every man heard in his own language. Why did everybody hear in their own language? Because the message was so important. People were lost. They had to be saved. In order for you to be saved, you must understand what you got to do in order to be saved. It's not something you feel. It's not something you jump up and down and shout about. It's something you do. And when they heard, repent and be baptized, every one of them, those who were baptized, were saved. And the Bible said over 3,000 souls were saved that day. And when they were saved, guess what God did? God added them to the church. He didn't ask them to join no church. Once you hear the word, whatever put you in the church was the only thing that put you in Christ. Whatever saved you, put you in the church. And I need to say one more thing for Brother Jones, for Brother Green set me down. And he said one more thing. And the church is made up of people. It's not a building. It's not a structure. It's people. Whenever a person is saved, that person becomes the church, a part of the church. Every one of us is a brick in the church, a spiritual. It's not a brick. It's not a brick. The Bible says members. Every person is a member. We put the ship onto it. Membership. Membership. The Bible said a member. So every time someone is baptized, they become a member of the church. And they eventually makes up the church. Like today, the church didn't get here until the members got here.
That's right.
We use that knocker law. We said, let's go to the church. But actually, in reality, we don't go to church. We bring the church to the worship house. Because the church is a people whom God has baptized and set aside for his purpose. So when anybody says, let's go to church, that's the wrong statement, but we understand what they mean. They're going to where the church worship. That day, 3,000 folks. Can you imagine that? 3,000 folks were baptized. God been adding to that number ever since. The Lord added to the church daily. That's what the King James Version says. But there's another version, Standard American Standard, said, Lord, add to the number. And we know that inferred that the Lord added to the church. You here this morning? If you're here and you're not a member of the lost church, you have been deceived. And the one who's doing the deception is the devil. How does he do it? Just like God has ministers. The devil also have ministers. Just like the devil was tricky and transformed himself to an angel of light, his minister does the same thing. And the only way you know the difference between truth and error is that you stick in the Bible. You stay in the Bible. No matter who preaches and how many people preach and how long they preach, make sure they stay in the Bible. And if you agree with the Bible, you'll learn what you need to do in order to be saved. Today you have learned that. Preacher, what did Peter say that I had to do to be saved? Repent and be baptized. And what else, Peter? What else happened? And you will, not only will you receive forgiveness or the remission of sin, but you also will receive the gift. I said, y'all still in shock? Of the Holy Spirit. You see why you can live the Christian life? God don't leave you. When you're baptized, God gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit, which will enable you to be able to walk the straight, narrow path of righteousness. You can do that today. You got to have courage, and you got to have the desire to allow God to work with you. And if you are humble enough this morning, God can use you in His kingdom. And all of these brothers and sisters are in here. They'll become your spiritual brothers and sisters. And they'll help you. They'll guide you to make sure that you can make heaven your home. Because we all have the same struggle, and that struggle is with sin. And God has given us the victory through Jesus Christ over sin. You can enjoy when things are going right. You can rejoice when things are not going so good. Because you know if God brings you to it, somebody say He'll bring you through it. And if y'all want to test after service, you got one standing right here. We know what God can do. We know what He will do. I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't know when He's going to do it. But I know He's able. And because He is able, that satisfies me. Right, everybody? As you hear this morning, the brother's going to be singing a song. This is our way of giving you an invitation to come to God. Now, the devil's saying, you're going to have another chance. I'm not sure of that. Because we don't know where death is. There were some folks, I done did 3 funerals the last 2 weeks. Folks that went home after work, laid their head on a pillow, and was going back to work at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. 4 o'clock came, they didn't show up. Somebody was dispatched to their home, couldn't get in, called somebody and knocked the door down, went in. Guess what? They were dead. And the mother had just left them about 4 hours before that. And worse than that, they had, my wife makes banana pudding. And this lady who died had just called my wife, said, I want you to make a banana pudding for my mother. And she would be by to pick it up. The mother came over about 2 o'clock to pick up the banana pudding and said, I just left my daughter's house, so I'm going on home. Because she's probably sleeping, getting ready to go to work. She was sleeping, but she wasn't getting ready to go to work. So I did her funeral that Friday. Young lady had no idea that death was that close. You don't have no idea. Don't you leave this place thinking, I can come next Sunday or I can come Tuesday night. Today is your day. When that brother starts singing, How You Foil the Devil, when he starts singing, you start walking. And when you get here, the only thing we're going to ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you answer in the affirmative, we will take you today, baptize you. You'll go down in the water as a sinner, but you'll come up as a saint. And the Lord Himself will add you to the church that Jesus Christ paid for with His precious blood. You come now. We'll all stand together, sing this song.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace?